to the head and say, Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we'll receive revelation that is found in the written word. Today, our eyes behold Jesus as he sees us in himself. He is glorified and we are edified. Clarity comes to my mind. Amen. Amen. Matthew 28, we are discussing confession reality. Matthew 28, from verses 18. Jesus came and stood to them saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. He says, Go make disciples. This is, we said, this will be Jesus' Matthew's summary of what Jesus told them, gave to them as instructions within the 40 days. So Matthew will summarize that instruction within the 40 days to be what? Go make disciples. Hallelujah. Now that word to make disciples is the word that shows how one is enrolled, how you put one into a school. Hallelujah. Into a citadel of learning, where that one learns a trade, an art. Jonathan. Hallelujah. That one learns a trade. You know how one goes to learn a trade. That is how Jesus says, we should make disciples. That's what he asks us to do. He says, go make disciples. Hallelujah. That one is taught to become a scholar. A scholar in a chosen discipline, in a chosen art. Glory to God. So, quickly, let's take back something we usually say. Let's take it back. Let's recall what we usually say. That means, if one is going to learn an art, we said it's from a noun called matisseur, we have apprentice, right? Now that means the discipline will be specific. What will be learned will be specific, right? What will be learned will be specific. You cannot say you are learning carpentry. I don't know why I'm using carpentry today, but if you can't say you are learning carpentry, and in learning carpentry, you are selling, or you are not doing drugs. How should I do this? Let me put it like this. How many of you allow a medical doctor who tells you, I'm a medical doctor, an accountant, a psychologist, and a philanthropist, tourist. Also, I also do for pleasure, I also do carpentry work. You will allow that one to be your doctor. Would you? Why? Is a jack of all trades. Hallelujah. Is a jack of all trades. Now when you talk about apprentice, someone who is learning, there's something that person is learning specific. Is that the person is doing tailoring, right? He's learning tailoring. You can't be learning tailoring and be learning this at the same time. I follow you. So in apprenticeship, there's something you are learning to becoming a master of, right? After you are done, you now have what you call freedom. Well, this one, there's no freedom. You are learning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, quickly. So that means what Jesus has asked us to do is to reach people in a specific discipline, which is what? Concerning himself. We'll get to see that too. Hallelujah. So that disciples will be made disciples of his resurrection. Because that was what just happened. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He says, go make disciples of this with this authority. So that authority is to make disciples. Are you following me? That authority is to make disciples of the resurrection. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He now says something there. Baptizing them. We're going to dwell here for a while today. That word baptizing them, baptizo. Baptizo in the Greek. Baptizo. It's the word that means to immerse, right? We'll be looking at that word too, to immerse. It will be the same with what Mark would say in Mark 16:15. Look at Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. You know, these signs are for all that believe in my name. He said, they will cast out demons. So they will speak with new tongues. They shall drink any deadly thing. It will not harm them. Hallelujah. Now, he uses that word, he that believes and is baptized. That is the word believe. That word and is the word kai, which is used for to explain. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So used for
to explain.
So when Mark uses the word he that believes and is baptized, that word baptized there is no water baptism. You know, people like water baptism. No. It's not water baptism. It is used for how one becomes a disciple. It says he that believes that Jesus is baptized. So to believe is to be baptized. It's not water baptism. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So rather is the act of believing in Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So when one believes in Christ, that act of believing in Christ is him being immersed into Christ, right? That is the baptism. He that believes that Jesus is baptized. Are you following me? It's not he that believes and goes to water baptism. No. He that believes is the one who is baptized. That believing is baptism. Are you following me? Baptism means to be immersed, to be put into something. So when a man is born again, he is in Christ. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul would not say, if any man be in Christ, that is what the immersion. If anyone be in Christ, that is the baptism. That is when a man is saved. Are you following me? When a man believes, he is. That is the baptism. Glory to God. I always keep saying, when I wanted to do my water baptism, these were the things that, I didn't want to baptism, but these were the things that me and my baptismal instructors, we went through for a long time. And at the point, I said, please, don't ask us questions again. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, when people talk about baptism, they say, why is it that they baptize with water? John the Baptist, did he baptize with water? You know, people are like that. Why did he say pastor baptism? Why did he say it's not water baptism? You know, I've had people say that. But you know, what John called baptism is not water. Do you know that? What John, who you call John the Baptist, right? John the prophet. What he called baptism is not water. It's not water. John's baptism that people call water baptism is not actually water. John's baptism was a message you needed to believe in. Look at Acts 19. Acts 19, then we'll come back to see John. Acts 19 quickly. Are you with me? Are you in Acts 19? Glory to God. I'll start from verse 1 so that you understand it. That now it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much heard whether there is any Holy Ghost. And he said to them, what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Even they too were missing it. They said, into John's baptism. And Paul quickly had to correct them. Did you get it? They said, into John's baptism. But Paul had to correct them. See, let me tell you something. These people were not, you can't call these people followers or John's disciples. They look like men who just attend, let's say we are having believers convention or one of our special programs, and they just came for that day and you didn't see them again. You know, they will have a blockage in their explanation. I hope you know that. Those people that are on and off to church. This is how these guys look like, because they say they've not heard whether they be any Holy Ghost. John. You know, John himself said he that cometh after me will baptize you with what? Holy Ghost. That means these guys are not listening. Are you following me? They're not listening. Look at how Paul will correct them in verse 3. I mean verse 4. And Paul says, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying, did you see John's baptism? Paul had to correct them that John's baptism is not water. It's what? He said he baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying, meaning John's baptism was a message. Are you following me? He said saying, what was it? He said John's baptism, okay, he said saying to the people that they should believe on him who will come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So John's baptism was for them to believe in Christ. So it was a message. Are you following me? What is John's baptism? John's baptism is a message, not water. Are you following scripture? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So when they heard it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So was this, what happened to them in verse 5? Is it water? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the baptism. That is, they believed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Let's look at something quickly. Let's see John.
I want to open to the book of John. So things are being
John 1. Put that in John 1, put your hands in Matthew 3. Okay, let's start from Matthew 3 quickly. Now, I'm going to read just shortly away from verse 11 into 13, or into 12. Okay, from verse 3, John, Matthew 3, 3. And this is what was spoken of the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight, make his path straight. This is concerning John. Now John himself was clothed with camel's hair and leather belt around his waist, and the food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Mark verse 6. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him, he said to them, blood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God is able to raise up children unto Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize with water unto... Did you see that? But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the... Quickly, rush to John chapter 1, verse 26. And John answered and said, I baptize with water, but the sandals of one among you, whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandals tribe I am not worthy to lose. These things were done in Batabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, I need to see something closely. Now, John had a message. That was what Paul told us, made us see. John had a message, right? There was a message. Then, why was there water? Remember, John will be a prophet, right? And those of you who were around yesterday, John showed us on Matthew that what he will have as his congregation will be what? Those who will be called brood of vipers, which is the Pharisees, the multitude, who are what? Unbelievers. So what will he do? He will unite the two worlds again. right? He will do what we call identification unifier. Hallelujah. He will unite his audience with that of Moses. Oh, you're not around yesterday, but I'm going to make it easier for you to see. So leave all those identification unifiers and listen to what I'm telling you. Because of unbelief, right? Right? Because of unbelief, because of who he has. So he would have to explain, because his role is to what? Point us to who? The Christ. Right? We read what Isaiah said. He said, make straight the path, right? So his own role is to point us to the Christ. This is the Christ. Hallelujah. So just like every other prophet, John will say in John 1 that he will bear witness of the light. So he's to bear witness of the light, just like every other prophet. Hallelujah. So how will he do it? He will preach the same gospel, right? He will preach the same gospel, pointing to Christ. But in order for him to show them what Christ will do, what will happen? He will baptize them. Now, John is not the first to bring about that washing. It is what they had in their culture. Do you understand? But Johnson was immersion, full immersion, and it's for a reason. Hallelujah. So they had sprinkling with water. Right? They had water cleansing. I want you to follow me. They had water cleansing, which was a symbol used by the prophet to let them know that there will be a new beginning. So when they hear water, what comes to mind is what? A new beginning. Washing. Hallelujah. To show a new start. Hallelujah. So now when John baptized them into water, immerse them into water and bring them out, he's telling them that in what will happen will be what? There will be an immersion, and then what you will have is a new beginning. So the water baptism that they had was a symbol to point to what Christ would do. Are you following me? Was a symbol to point to what Christ would do. Hallelujah. Then nobody now asked, but Jesus Christ to baptize. No, Jesus wouldn't. Because that was a symbol to point to Christ. So Jesus wouldn't baptize. Jesus didn't baptize anybody. Are you following? Jesus didn't baptize anybody. John chapter 4. Let's look at John 4. John 4. He said, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Wow. So Jesus baptized more than John? That's not interesting. But you have to read the next verse. It says, though Jesus himself did not baptize, so did Jesus baptize anyone? No, Jesus didn't baptize. Because that baptism was to point to him, what he will do. So what he will do will be what? There will be an immersion in himself that marks a new beginning. Hallelujah. There will be an immersion in himself that marks a new beginning. Now, look at how John will now help you see. He now gets to verse 3. John will now help you see it in chapter 3. Okay, let me put Jesus in chapter 3. John writes it for us to see in chapter 3. Jesus will say, except a man born of water and of the Spirit. It's not two different things. Hallelujah. He needs you to see that the water means a new beginning in the Spirit. Are you following me? Are you following me? It's a new beginning in the Spirit. Glory to God. It's not water baptism. Jesus wouldn't have said water baptism and the Holy Ghost when he himself did not baptize any. With water. Are you following me? So when you hear of John's baptism, is not water. The water is a symbol that points to what he's saying. What is he saying? Christ. Hallelujah. What Christ will do. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. So it's a new beginning. Christ will then see what? A new beginning. So in Romans 6:1, Paul will now say, shall we continue to see that grace may abide? He said, nay, how can we who are dead to see live any longer in it? He said, not to know some of you who were baptized into Christ. Can you not see? As many of you who were, come on, you should be in Romans 6. Hallelujah. As many of you who were baptized into Christ. So can you see the narrative? Where is the baptism? Into Christ. Is it water? No, in Christ. As many of you who were baptized into Christ, were buried with him by baptism. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that you too should walk in newness of life. Can you see it? Hallelujah. So it's a new beginning. Amen.
Amen.
Are you following it? So it shows a new beginning. So it's a message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when a man believes the message, is a man baptized? Is a man baptized? Hallelujah. So sir, what is the significance of water baptism? Go and ask water baptism. Hallelujah. It's just a symbol. Sir, I thought if you don't do water baptism, you go to hellfire. Ah, interesting. Interesting, but that's nonsense. Glory to God.
I can tell you that in the church because we are, this is my church.
Hallelujah. It's nonsense. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Therefore, we said last week that believing the gospel preached becomes the entry point to becoming a disciple. That is what Matthew is saying. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost, will that be believed? Right? Believe in the gospel preached, right? So that point, if a man believes the gospel, he is a disciple. Are you following me? So in Christ, or in the new birth, we are all disciples. Irrespective of who you are, have 10 cars, 20 cars, 1 million cars, house, societal influence, poor, rich, medium, anything. Once you are born again, you are a disciple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in verse 20, now tells us how disciples will be raised. Look at Matthew 18, verse 28, 20. It says, teaching them. Right? That is what didasco said. And we said didasco is a verb that shows one's effort in explaining. Hallelujah. Didasco is a verb that shows one's effort in explaining. Didasco. It says, and it's from the primary verb dao, D-A-O, a primary verb dao, which implies to teach and impart learning on others. To teach and impart learning on others. So that means a discipleship, when you are taught, or in the local church, the church is where you are taught the word of God. Are you following me? The church is not a disco hall. The church is where you are taught the word of God. You come like this and you learn the word of God. Someone asked me, how many do you used to preach in your church? I said, on the minimum. On the minimum. Say minimum 1 hour. Say, yeah! Is that church? I don't know. It's not. They like short service, short message, someone, SMS. And the Lord will do it. Amen. What is mine is mine. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You didn't catch that, but you catch it later. Hallelujah. Amen. Shut me the door. And the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Shut me the door. That's what people like that. That's what they like. In fact, as you're going to church, they're asking you, when will you people close? Just like you're telling them, we're going to church by 3. When will we close? See, you say, ah. Are we going there to, is there a special meeting? Can we do church from 3 to 4? Shush up. That is how your Christian coach is shush up. You are taught. Hallelujah. Look at Paul. We saw something yesterday. Acts 28, verses 23. One verse, Paul taught for 12 hours. 12 hours. 12. You think it's a joke? Jesus taught there for 40 days. In fact, that one was even when they had multiplication of bread, he was teaching them for 4 days. Everybody sat down. 4 days! 4 days stretch. Are you hearing me? They don't remember food. 4 days. And you are saying, ah. You know, some people will say, ah, now you see Jesus. That is stupid talk. Stupid talk. That is right. We talk, the sermon used to be long. But you know, someone will just come to church and they sit and sleep. You wake up and you write something. What would you write? Your pen was in one position. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the church is where you have taught the word of God intensely. You have taught, you see, you have intense teaching in the church. The church is a Bible school. See, if every church does what the church, what Jesus has asked us to do, teaching them, there will be no need for a Bible school, because the church originally is supposed to be a Bible school where you are taught. So you see, the disciples deliberately, we said this yesterday, you find a deliberate attempt or a deliberate teaching of Christ from the scriptures, all through. Evangelism, that people go for evangelism, you are doing evangelism, you are doing it sharp sharp. If I went to person is already, say, I accept, or I believe. Say, I believe. Yeah, I'm born again. Hey, say. Okay, you're born again. You are woo woo. You are what? Woo woo. Some people want to, do evangelism, just start. I need the Bible. Okay, use my Bible. Romans 1:16. You know, that is Israel. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not saying you should change it though. It's the power of God unto salvation. You see, God's power to save is in the gospel. And what is your response? Romans 10:10, 9:10. Believe. I'm telling you scripture because we do it. We go to Mark. He says, what you need to do is to believe. Believe. What does it take you to believe? Believe. What do you believe? That Jesus is the Lord. Do you believe Jesus is the Lord? Yeah. Say. Is Lord. Oh, you are saved. Look at your life. Hallelujah. Well, and they are saved. Hallelujah. I'm not saying they are not saved. They are saved. But you know, in the book of Acts 2, when Peter stood up to preach, that was evangelism. That got 3,000 people saved. It's not 5 minutes. It's not 1 hour. Leave from verse 14 to verse 40. Hey, if it is like that. That verse is ours. He was teaching them ours, and they listened for ours. In fact, for record shows it's about 5 to 6 hours he was teaching. But he was teaching. Evangelism. If doing evangelism 5 to 6 hours, that much more when you announce it. And they continued steadfast. Watch that word, steadfastly. Peter will teach in church, he will go to their house, continue teaching. Is it now? Hallelujah. He just left church, service today, just want to pick Peter. Yeah, who is that? It's Peter. He said, pastor, coming. He's not coming to his place or play PS with you. He said, how was service today? Nice, okay. We want to do an expansive study of what we did in church. Oh. Are you with your Bible? He said, yeah. Your wife said, okay, let's study. Another hour. Wonderful. Hallelujah. That was how they had church. Glory to God. Some people will be complaining, yeah. During holidays, they are going to rest, they are coming to church. Paul, Acts 20. He said, I taught you publicly from house to house. You know what he means? Record had it that in the morning before they go to work, Paul would teach them. Before they go to work in the morning, Paul would teach them. As they are coming back from work, before they go home to rest, they are coming to church. They come and say, every day, Paul would teach them into the night. They'll go home and come the next day. Receive what? Go to. Every day, intense. That is what the local church is for. Hallelujah. All in here is coming. No more? Holiday what? We don't have holidays, we have holy days. Every day is holy day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So our guys are deep. Today are CD. We get in the war. Hallelujah. Yes now. You don't have to be in layer today. Layer bow. Come on, go to church. Come on, this is understanding the gospel. Series 2 or 3. 3 hours. 4 hours. Very soon, start having 12 hours. We are getting there.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We are getting there. Fear not. He shall give me the word. They are hearing the word now. Didn't you pray? No, didn't you pray that the eyes of my understanding is enlightened? We are not in you now. Hallelujah. Amen. We are getting there. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So spiritual growth. So the end point of teaching, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, it says, all scripture given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, right? We looked at that word, instruction in righteousness, paideia and diakosune. We said that word is a word for spiritual growth, right? That's the word for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, father and son relationship, spiritual growth. And we said, the end point of teaching is so that what we grow up spiritually. And we said spiritual growth will not be found in our spirits. No. Hallelujah. One of those say, you're in Nepi. Your spirit, you are born again, you're in Nepi. No. Hallelujah. There's nothing like spiritual growth is not found in our spirits. No. Spiritual growth is found in our minds. Hallelujah. It's our mind that needs spiritual growth, that needs to be grown. Hallelujah. Our spirit, the spirit of the man born again, is knowledgeable about God. The spirit of the man born again, we saw that last week, is knowledgeable about God. Colossians 3 verse 10. Colossians 3 10. Colossians 3 10. Are you there? It says, and I put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of God, or according to the image of him who created him. Hallelujah. So he's renewed in knowledge, and our knowledge is the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. So the man born again is not deficient, or the spirit of the man born again, let me quickly clarify that, is not deficient of God's knowledge. No. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Not deficient of God's knowledge. But our mind need to comprehend the word of God. Hallelujah. Our mind is not. Our spirit is. Our mind is not. As our mind that needs to comprehend the word of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because if we need our mind to walk in the earth. We need our mind in our walk in the earth. So the reason why much more if we need our mind in our walk in the earth, if we need our mind in our walk in the spirit, is very important. You walk. Our work in the spirit, you need your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this is the reason why Paul's prayer for them in Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. Ephesians 1 is that the eyes of your understanding, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Did you see that? Right? From verse 17, it says that he will grant unto you wisdom and that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That word there, when it says the spirit of wisdom, is actually wisdom of the spirit, which is revelation in the knowledge of him. That is Paul's prayer, that he will give to you what? Wisdom of the spirit. And he calls the wisdom of the spirit revelation in the knowledge of him. Where is that needed? Verses 18, that the eyes of your understanding. So that is the focus. It didn't say that your spirit, no, because God knows that your spirit is knowledgeable about God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So he now prays that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. So it makes you see that it is the mind that needs to comprehend what your spirit has as information. And that information you have in your spirit is what we have in the written word. Are you following me? It's what we have in the written word. So, that information in the spirit that is in the written word, right? Are you following me? Is what is called revelation to the mind. Revelation is the word apocalypse, which is to uncover. So, what needs to be uncovered? Or where do we need the uncovering? Is it in our spirit? No, our spirit is well knowledgeable. It's our mind. Do you get? It's our mind. That's why that's why in Luke 24, he opened their understanding. So it's the understanding that needs to comprehend God. Are you following me? It's the understanding that needs to comprehend God. The understanding needs to comprehend God. Are you following me? So it's your mind that needs the renewal. So the information of the spirit made available to the mind is called what?
Revelation.
It's called what?
Revelation.
So can we put it like this? The information of the written word made available to the mind is called what? Revelation. Or the information of the word, that is the information in the spirit made available to the mind, is called what? Revelation. So that is revelation. Are you following me? Are you following me? That's revelation. Glory to God. It is available in the spirit. In Colossians 1:9 and Philippians 1:9, Paul's prayer for them was to walk with what? With the information that's already available in the spirit. So it's needed. Therefore, it is the mind that needs to comprehend God. Say, my mind is what is.
My mind
is what needs to comprehend God, not my spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Tell it again. My mind
is what needs to comprehend God.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So therefore, we cannot put Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you for spiritual growth. Right?
Yes,
right?
Yes,
right?
Yes,
the teaching them is for spiritual growth, that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened. Hallelujah! For spiritual growth. Now this spiritual growth, we said last week, will be found in their what? Conduct. Right? Right? We found in their conduct. And in their words, in their conduct, Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, he said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, he said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13, he said, we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. Did you see that? Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. When he said children, tossed to and fro, what are you talking about? Character. Character. This is that the character. Right? The attitude. Talked about attitude. Carried about by different winds of doctrine. Are you following me? You'll be saying in their word attitude. Now he now says in verse 15. But speaking. So that means spiritual growth also will be found in my what? Words. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by every part does its share, causing growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. This goes to talk about conduct. Hallelujah. Every part does its share. Oh, look at that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, spiritual growth can be seen in conduct and in my words. Right? Right? Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul said to them from verse 1, he said, I couldn't speak to you, 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 1, he said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. He said, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God, it says, get down to verse 2, that says, for where there is strife, envy, say, you know, carnal, and work at men. So that shows you that conduct, in their conduct, they were called babes. This is that, in their conduct, they were called babes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To show you that spiritual growth can be seen, they were called babes. Though they are spiritual, it's actually to tell you who you are spiritual, right? Because of what has happened to them in Christ, right? But it says in their conduct they were babes. So it shows you that spiritual growth can be seen in our conduct and our speech. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in Matthew 15, where we were in last week, Matthew 15, where they came to meet Jesus, from verse 1, we read from verse 1 into verse 19. Where they came to meet Jesus and asked him that your disciples desecrate the traditions their salvation because they ate without washing their hands. And Jesus said, no. Right? See, it is you who have what? Desecrated the what? Jesus' response to them was that they were the ones who have desecrated the commandments of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he then tells them, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. Verse 11. He says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. So it's not what goes into the man that defiles it. So what goes, or you know what goes through the mouth. Mark 7 will put it, I know what goes into a man. Right? So it refers to the mouth. Master has given us the headway. Hallelujah. Talks about the mouth. Hallelujah. Know what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. Because what goes into the mouth will get to the belly and then you push it out in the white room. Glory to God. White House. Glory to God. Amen.
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 If you don't know where is the White House, ask those who went to PTI. They'll tell you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know where is the White House? Amen. You know where is the White House? But people who went to private schools don't know where is the White House. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, you know what goes into a man that defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth. So, that word, Jesus used the word defile. That is the word koino in the Greek. Koino. K-O-I-N-O-O. Or koino. It implies to render unholy. To render unholy. Unclean. To pollute. To pollute. You find it in Acts 10:15. Acts 10:15, when the word came to Peter, he said, do not call what I've made clean unclean. Did you get? Chapter 11, verse 9, Peter responding to the disciples, into the council, and told them this was the word he heard. Do not call what I've made clean unclean. You find it also in Acts 21:28, Hebrews 9:13, Revelations 21:27. Take that down. Acts 10:15. 11:9, 21:28, Hebrews 9:13, Revelations 21:27. So what Jesus says is that what proceeds out of the mouth is what brings about condemnation. It what makes a man unholy. Did you see that? Hallelujah. What brings about condemnation is what? From the mouth. Then you have to track back to where? Matthew. Mark. Look at the synopsis again. Look at, what does it mean? What is Jesus talking about? What comes out of the man is what defiles a man. What makes a man unholy? What is he talking about? Now, Jesus will dwell on the path of unholy for a reason. Because of how the question came. Do you get? Hallelujah. He said they broke. So Jesus is now replying them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, remember, in Mark 16, Jesus will not tell them, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be what? Damned. That is the condemnation. That is what makes you unholy. That is what defiles a man. Hallelujah. So what Jesus changes their narrative from washing of hands to what? The real defilement. The real defilement is not whether I eat it hand washed or not, though it is hygienic. But you know, as Jesus will speak, he would actually speak from the scriptures. Hallelujah. He's always explaining scripture. So he says what defiles a man is from the mouth. And we said when he said that, we have scripture. He was actually reading Deuteronomy. He's reading Deuteronomy, or let's put it this way, he's reading Proverbs chapter what? 16. Was that what we said? Right? And Proverbs 16 is referencing what? Deuteronomy. Proverbs 6. Look at Proverbs 6. Before we go to Proverbs 6, look at that Matthew 15:18. It says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So what Jesus is saying is that what comes out of the mouth is in agreement with the heart. Did you see that? What comes out of the mouth is to make you know that Jesus is talking salvation. He's talking redemption. What comes out of the mouth is in agreement with the heart. That's what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. He said, these things which defile a man. But to eat his unwashed hand does not defile a man. Jesus is reading Proverbs chapter 6. Let's get to Proverbs 6 immediately. Are you following me? Are you seeing this? Jesus is saying, what comes out of the mouth is from the heart. It's from the heart. So the heart and the mouth is in agreement. That is homologia. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. The heart and the mouth is in agreement. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Are you there? Okay. Proverbs 6:12 quickly. You got that already. Say, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse, mouth. Say, he winks with his eyes and shuffles his feet. He points with his finger. Perversity is in his. Perversity is where? Is in his heart. Hallelujah. So perversity comes from the heart. And then the mouth will speak. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that teaching will be from Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. The teaching that Paul will not explain in Romans 10, from verse 9 to 10, as what? For salvation truth. Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 19. Paul will not explain it in Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10 from verse 9. So, he says, verse 6. But righteousness of the faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30, 13. You know, who ascended to heaven, that is to bring Christ from the dead. I mean to bring Christ from above. That is actually the interpretation. Or who will descend into abyss. You can put one hand in Deuteronomy as you read through. Or who will descend into abyss. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you there, in your mouth and in your heart. Did you see that? That is the word of faith which you preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you see that? So, Paul uses it to teach salvation. He says, verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you see that? Unto salvation. So when he uses that word confession, is the word of homologia. Homologia. That word implies to speak in agreement with two or more. We have homologia. Or homologue. You hear the word homologue? Monologue. One person speaking to himself. Homologue. They have monologue, they have dialogue. Dialogue is between two people, right? Right? Two people. Dialogue. Monologue. One person. Dialogue. Two. Homologue. More than two. Two or more. Hallelujah. Homologue. So, it implies to speak in agreement with two or more. So, in salvation, our confession, what Paul is saying that in salvation, our confession is in agreement with our heart on Christ's accomplishment for us in the scriptures. You see that? That's what Paul is saying. Hallelujah. So in salvation, what we confess, in salvation, what we confess is the agreement, what we've agreed in our heart concerning what Christ has done. Are you following me? So that agreement. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And where will we, where are we going to see what Christ has done in the scriptures? So our heart agrees with the written word and our mouth says it. Hallelujah. That agreement. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So we said our confession is Christ in Christianity, right? on what he has done for us. Was that what we said? Our confession is Christ. So it is not, when you hear confession, it's not to speak about sin. You know, people like that. Sin consciousness. Sin consciousness. Righteousness consciousness. Yeah, I was getting there. Hallelujah. Yeah, say confession is confession of my sin. I used to confess my sin. I remember one time I had to preach. I was having, there was a day like that. I went out to an evangelism and I met someone. I've met several people like that. So I always had their cure. Like, one day I met this guy. Let me just call him one of them. So I met him and I, you know, our sharp approach. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised from there, you shall be saved. That's what he said. So it is our mouth. We need to say it. Say it. Yeah, I used to say it every day. My heart out like the day. I said, what do you used to and I like, what do you used to say every day? Every day I used to confess my sin. I used to ask God for forgiveness. I said, no, this is not confession of sin, this is confession of Christ as your Lord. And he said, it's the same thing, I confess my sin. You know, there's some people like that, they'll tell you sin. No, it's not sin. Confession in scripture is not used for sin. We said that last week, right? It's not used for sin. Hallelujah. Rather, we said, looking at 1 John 1:9, we look at 1 John 1:9, right? Right? Look at, open your Bible to 1 John 1:9. We're not going to dwell there. You get the message. It should be out tonight. Hallelujah. So you get the message and listen to it. Hallelujah. You're not wrong. 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we said what John is talking about here is not talking about confession of sin. No, it's confession for what Jesus did to sin. Hallelujah. Was that not what we said? Confession of what Jesus did to sin and not the confession of sin. Hallelujah. You see why you shouldn't miss anything. Hallelujah. We said it's the confession for what Jesus did to sin. So it's not praying for forgiveness of sin, but rather the confession of what Jesus has done to sin. He paid for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we rendered it last week. We looked at it last week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the word confession is used for Christ. It's used for Christ. All through scriptures. Romans 14:11. Philippians 2:10. Romans 14:11, Philippians 2:10, Hebrews 4:14. So our conversion in the New Testament is Jesus. That is what he has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's not just to speak about sin. No, it's not. It's not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because forgiveness of sin is not what we confess. It's not what we confess to receive. No. Rather, forgiveness of sin is what we have received in the new birth. Hallelujah. What we've received. Ephesians 1:7. Colossians 2:13. Colossians 1:14. All the way the writers of the epistles would write about forgiveness of sin, they write about it as what we have received in the new birth. You would see that shortly. You will write it as what we have received already, not what we hope to get. No. Hallelujah. So when you get to 1 John 1:9, when it says, if we confess our sin, that word if is not always, that word if there is the word in the Greek that means because. Hallelujah. Because. You can actually use because if is conditional. You look at it in our today's language. Hallelujah. So it's actually because we confess what Christ has done to sin. He is faithful and just. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we had all those studies last week. Right? We had all those studies last week. So we have to get the material. Get the message rather. To listen to them again. So it's not for praying for forgiveness of sin. But rather the confession of what Jesus has done to sin. He paid for it. So what do we confess? We confess what Jesus has done to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There was a song, those of us who were around there yesterday, I wanted to sing a song when I talked about redemption. But it skipped my mind, so I didn't. But now I remember the song. Is that the song? You know when I talk about redemption in Greek? And apolutrosis. And God. Yeah. Yeah? The fact that it lost the import of its meaning, right? As in our day to day, in the days of Paul, they understood what it meant. Nobody is going to go and carry money to, no. Do you understand? Because God means a kingsman redeemer, one who stands for another. You get that stands in for another. But when they are to bring that word to Greek, because there's no word for a kingsman in the Greek translation, in the Greek language, then they use the word apolutrosis or yeah. So just permit me. So now, if you now bring that word, import of that word to our day to day, you would think Jesus had to pay something to someone for you to be redeemed. So the reason why the people sing this song, which I love, but there's a song I love that I can't sing because of knowledge. He paid the debt, he did not owe, I owed the debt, I couldn't pay, I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. The part I love, amazing grace, Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Who did he pay to? Hallelujah. So we continue there tomorrow. Yes, now we continue tomorrow. Don't ever forget the fact that your pastor is a commercial student. I didn't see anything. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
I didn't see anything. Did I see anything? So come on for meeting tomorrow. Glory to God. Okay, let's run this off. So we said all writers of the epistles will point to, we'll talk about confession as what? Not for sin, but what Christ has done to sin, right? What Christ has done is accomplishment for us. And they will talk about sin as what we have received in the new birth. Hallelujah. That's a sin? No, forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. After me, I want to receive in the new birth. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of sins, I want to receive in the new birth. Forgiveness of sins, I want to receive in the new birth. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
But one writer of the epistle seems to be, he's not really, he's looking as if he's not there. James. James 5. I told us we're going to look at James 5. And the brother asked the question, is not here. You see? Why should be around for meeting? So when you come and ask that, James 5 in come. Kobe, where is your brethren? Okay! James 5, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Looking for James Lombardo.
What have I just done?
Huh? Okay. I'm going to use the Bible now.
What is this?
King James.
Huh?
King James. Okay. James 5, 1 verse 14 into 16. Let's go. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray for them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed sin, he shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Now, look at something. He uses the word, he didn't use the word confession like other apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Neither did he contradict what they have said. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, if a man commits have committed sin, he said, they shall be forgiven him. He writes it, the King James put it in such a way like it's futuristic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, they shall be forgiven him. We'll get to that. That word, they shall, is not actually in the original. It's not actually in the original. They shall be forgiven him. So it is the translator who is an interpreter. We said that yesterday, right? The translator is an interpreter. So it is the translator playing with words. Are you getting this? It's the translator playing with words so as to arrive at what you have. So the translator has that opportunity. As an interpreter, I have the opportunity to go take some words in Islam to actually put words so that it can form a better sentence, especially when those words do not exist. Hallelujah. So now, the use of that word, they shall, is actually italicized, which is something we'll get to see shortly. Hallelujah. But our major focus for now will be confess your fault one to another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry? A second. Okay. Good. So, actually, that verse 15 ended with, if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. So it's not they shall be forgiven him. It's not talking about in the future. No. Hallelujah. If he has committed sin, hamartia, he said they shall be forgiven him. Hallelujah. So he's talking about the fact that word forgiven is what asiemi. And it's actually, the way it is used, it's actually a past participle. Hallelujah. So that is to say, if he has committed sin, he has received forgiveness. Are you following me? If that man is in Christ. Hallelujah. Then, that ends verse 15. Then verse 15, which we're going to see the import of it, we're going to read everything together from verses 12 shortly. I mean, from verses 1 shortly, so that you see what he's writing about. Hallelujah. But we are just dealing with it like this. So, who is reading out of context, you might be like, how is Pastor saying? But when we read in context, you understand it well. But now, look at verse 16. He now says, confess your fault. Now, when using the word confess, is the word exomologio in the Greek. Exomologio. It's on the compound word of ek homologio. Ek, where you hear call out. Right? Called out once, like ek homologio, implies to speak out of the same thing. To speak out of the same thing. To make full acknowledgement. That's the word. Ek homologio. Or ek homologio, which when bring together is the word exomologio. Exomologio. To speak out the same thing, to make full acknowledgement. Hallelujah. And take note, he says, if you confess your fault, the confession is not confession to God, but to fellow brethren. Did you see that? He said, confess your fault one to another. He didn't use hamartia for fault here. Hallelujah. He used another word. He used the word paraptoma. Paraptoma. P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A. Paraptoma. He's not using hamartia. And he says to one another, confess your fault to one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Confess your fault one to another. So, in context, what he is discussing, he is dealing with their relationship with one another. He's dealing with their relationship. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. I will start from verse 7. Say, be patient, therefore. It says, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. You know that? You know this sermon? Early and latter rain? That sermon is reading scripture out of context. Early and latter rain. Look at the next verse. Be ye also patient. Oh, the earlier Lazarus is for patience. He's teaching patience. Did you see that? He said, be ye also patient. It says, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draw near. He says, grudge not one against another. Did you see that? He's dealing with their relationship. He said, do not have grudge with one another. He said, let ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophet who hath spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Did you see that? And have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful, and he's very pitiful and tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Let ye fall into what? Condemnation. Is there any sick? Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. This is dealing with their conduct with one another. He's dealing with their relationship. He said, is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalm. Is any sick amongst you? Let him call for the elder. He's talking about relationship. Hallelujah. Where we teach, we know we teach healing psalm, healing is in their fine. But you know, he's talking about relationship. Telling them how to handle things. Say, is there any sick among you? Call for the elder. You get it? It's a new relationship. It's putting certain things in order. If there's any sick among you, call for the other. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. He said, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. This is that, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed sin, did you see? Can we put it in the, like, let's remove the word they shall. And let's put it this way. If he has committed sins, be forgiving him. Did you see that? If he has committed sins, be forgiving him. So, as an interpreter, what can you say? If he has committed sins, they are forgiving. They are forgiving. Are you seeing that? He says, confess your fault one to another. Is this still dealing with the same relationship issue? Yes. Confess your fault one to another. Did you see that? Confess your fault one to another. That says, I'm praying one for another that ye may be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we're using the word healed, it doesn't mean the reason for the sickness is because that grudges. No. Now the way in the word healed there, it means talks about relationship made perfect. Relationship coming back to normal. Hallelujah. It's not enough. You have to move away from physical healing. Are you following me? Confess your fault one to another that they may be healed. Now watch that very well. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Now that word fault is used for a false step. Parapitoma. Use for a first step to sleep a wrongdoing. So I'm confessing my wrongdoing, like admitting. That word confess means to acknowledge. So I'm admitting I'm wrong. Hallelujah. I'm admitting I'm wrong. I'll save the relationship. Hallelujah. I will heal the relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So yeah, James deals with their relationship with one another. Therefore, confession has nothing to do with confessing their sins to God so as to get forgiveness. No. Rather, it has to do with Christ's accomplishment. Confession has to do with Christ's accomplishment. To be saved. And also, it forms our words thereafter. That confession forms our words thereafter. We get to see that. Hallelujah. Remember, the word confession is speaking in agreement, right? Right? Speaking in agreement. Homologio. Speaking in agreement with the scriptures. In agreement with in agreement with the scriptures. In agreement with Christ's accomplishment. What he has done. Hallelujah. Christ's accomplishment. I have something in my notes. Hallelujah. And I wrote it here, emphatically, big. I wrote it, it is not what is mine is mine. I wrote it big, I like, very big. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Pastor Dixon, amen. Amen. So if you don't understand, just don't worry. But it's not what is mine is mine. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know,
James was dealing with relationship. I was dealing with relationship. Healing it.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody asked, somebody said, Father Smile is going to come for you. I'm doing it. I will fulfill prophecy. The word has gone ahead. I will fulfill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:14. 4:12. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 4:12. It says, so then death is working in us but lies in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, is that we have the same spirit of faith. He says, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore speak. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So our speaking, look at what it is. He says, I believe. Therefore what? I spoke. We also believe. Now, when he says, I believe, therefore I spoke, he's writing his reading from the psalmist. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Is it from the psalmist? Psalm 116 verse 10. Glory to God. And I said, therefore, we believe and therefore we speak. What is Paul saying? Our speaking is in conformity with our belief on what he has done. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 13, knowing that he who raised up the Lord will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us holy with you. Hallelujah. I will present us with you, sorry. Hallelujah. So our speaking, our belief in Christianity, our speaking is in conformity with our belief. You don't speak outside your belief. You don't speak outside your faith. No. We speak our belief. Hallelujah. We speak the word. For, I mean, God will speak to Joshua. He says, tell him, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is in them, only then that shall thou make thy way prosperous and have that and have good success. Joshua 1:8. He said thou shalt meditate. That word meditate in the Hebrew is the word haggah. Haggah. It means to roar it like a lion, to shout it. Hallelujah. Haggah. Hallelujah. To say it. To say it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we speak our belief. We speak our faith. Glory to God. What we've come to know in the world, that's what forms our confession. That's what forms our speaking. 1 Timothy 2:16. 1 Timothy 2:16. Let's look at that. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Look at that one. It says, without controversy. That word without controversy. That word without controversy. I see as a wrong interpretation or wrong translation. Hallelujah. Without controversy. You know, in our day and world, we say without controversy, meaning without argument. That is what comes to your head, right? But remember, you don't use today's language into scriptures, right? Hallelujah. You read scripture with scripture language. So when you use the word without controversy, is the word homologio, homolo, okay, homologio menos, homologio menos. That's what it means, homologio menos. Now, you say without controversy. So that's without controversy. That word is actually not suitable to be used here. Let me read it how the Greek will put it. Are you following me? Let me read it how the Greek will put it. That's 1 Timothy 2:16. I read the whole 1 Timothy 2:16. It says, Kai megas homologio menos musterion eusebentia. That's what that means. And great is our confession of the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Did you see that? It's not without controversy. That's why I have to read it that way. Kai mega. So the kai megas homologion mysterion eusebia is actually, and great is our confession. Did you see that? Great is our homologia. Great is our confession of the mystery of godliness. Did you see that? What is that mystery of godliness? That God was manifested in the flesh. Did you see that? Are you following me? God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. So what is our confession? What Jesus has accomplished. He says that is our great confession, that God became a man. Hallelujah. Undeniable truth. He says great is our confession. See, the Christian faith is a speaking faith. The Christian faith is a speaking faith. The Christian life is a speaking life, is a confession life. Hallelujah. It's a speaking faith. We speak our belief. We speak what we believe. Hallelujah. That is our confession. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a speaking faith. Our confession is on the reality of our faith. That's what is called confession reality. It's on the reality of our faith. Our confession is on the reality of our faith. Hebrews 13, verse 6. Hebrews 13, 6. Look at what it says. Okay, verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Say, be content with things which you have. For himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's scriptural. Hallelujah. When the writer of Hebrews reads this, he's reading Deuteronomy 31:6 and Joshua 1:5. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's written. It has said that we may boldly say. Hallelujah. That we may boldly say. Did you see the believer's life? It's a confession life. Hallelujah. He said, be content. He says, Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake. He said that we may boldly say. He says in the, see, this reading context is actually, okay, in the place of lack. He says that we may boldly say. Hallelujah. That we may boldly say. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That we may boldly say. That becomes the interpretation. Hallelujah. That we may boldly say. So, when we read scripture, when we get those scriptures and we study scriptures, what becomes the end point is that we say. Hallelujah. Let me take away that word end point. We read scriptures to know that we can say. Are you following me? That we can say. It forms our confession. It forms our confession. Hallelujah. It becomes our confession. Hallelujah. That word that we may boldly, that is the word confidently, courageously. Hallelujah. We may courageously say. So the Christian faith is a speaking faith. We boldly say what Christ has done. What the word says. Hallelujah. We boldly say. So you find it in our words, you find it in our songs. When we sing God in men, who died for men? Because this is what he has done. Hallelujah. You find it in our words, you find it in our songs. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't sing something like, all I know is to lie down, eat, sleep, and then we don't. We say what the word says. Hallelujah. We don't sing, we don't sing something, jaga, jaga. No. Hallelujah. Amen. We say what the word says. We say what the word says. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Remember I told us something yesterday. I said we are the flag of hope in our nation. Never be found saying things wrong. Never be found saying things ill. Never be found saying words of doom concerning Nigeria. Hallelujah. Nigeria will only be built by Nigerians. Nigeria will only be built by Nigerians. Not Canadians. not Americans. Americans will not build Nigeria. Americans will build America. Hallelujah. Nigeria will be built by Nigeria. So therefore, what are we going to do? It's start by saying the right word. Hallelujah. We speak hope. Scripture never tells us to sit down. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't mean you wouldn't attack the government. I wrote something on my social media this morning before coming. I said, see, well, it started causing controversy on social media. It's not my business though. But I remember I said it to us yesterday. We are the flag of hope in our nation. Hallelujah. I'm not in support of APC. Those of you that know me know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But doesn't that mean I'll not start speaking doom for this country? No. No. Hallelujah. I must speak in the direction of my faith. I must speak in the direction of my prayer. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. You make useless your prayer when you are done praying and you are saying opposite words. Your words must be in conformity with your prayer. Your words must be in conformity with your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So he comes out in our songs. Don't sing Nigeria Chagachaga. Don't sing everything is kata kata. No. That is what you see. If you sing that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I say my faith. I speak out my faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But sir, my faith is what is mine is mine. Come on, keep quiet. Hallelujah. Come on, keep quiet. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at 1 Timothy 6:12. That was a roundup today. Okay, no. No, not yet. Hallelujah. First Timothy 6:12. Paul will tell Timothy, he tells him, fight the good fight of faith. He says, fight the good fight of faith. He tells him, lay hold on what? Eternal life. Whereunto ye were called. Lay hold on eternal life. Where also you were called. And have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see that? He tells him, he reminds Paul. Paul reminds Timothy. Irrespective of the, in fact, in Ephesus, and at that point, there were already negativity everywhere. Hallelujah. There were a lot of negativities in terms of doctrine and thereabout. Doctrine most especially. Hallelujah. Negativity in doctrine. Things, people are perverting the gospel. And he tells him, fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. That is, hold fast to it. That's the word to lay hold. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
I thought I had it there. Okay. He said, lay hold on eternal life. He said, well unto ye were called. And have professed a good confession. Hallelujah. And have confessed a good confession before many witnesses. So he tells him to keep on with the good confession. Hallelujah. He tells him to keep on with a good confession. Hallelujah. And how will he fight a good fight? Keep it up with a good confession. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good confession. Which is about what he has received. Hallelujah. About what he has received. He tells him to keep up the good confession. Keep up with a good confession. Lay hold on eternal life. So therefore, my confession is will be found in my words. Hallelujah. My faith will be found in my words. My belief will be found in my words. I say what I believe. I say what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
If I say what Christ has done, I will not say my problem is sin. My problem is no. I say God, Christ has dealt with sin. He has paid for sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has paid for sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You say what Christ has done. You say what Christ has done. You say what Christ has done. Hallelujah. What has he done? I have the Spirit of God in me. Hallelujah. You know the scripture says you have the Spirit of God in you. It says you have the light of life. Therefore we can boldly say I cannot be confused. So you know I can just go, I cannot be confused. Hallelujah. Why are you saying that? Because I have the light of life. Hallelujah. Oh hallelujah. I have the light of life. I cannot be confused. Glory to God. You say to yourself, God, that is your belief. I know what to do and how to do what God wants me to do. I cannot be confused. I don't walk in confusion. I walk in the light. I walk in the light. Hallelujah. Are you following me? My confession. My reality. I confess my reality. Hallelujah. My reality is not what is happening to me now. No. My reality is my faith. My reality is my belief. My reality is what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What has Christ done? What has Christ done? He has given me his spirit. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
So my confession is on what Christ has done. I want to add something else to that. Hebrews 10:23. As we wrap up now. Hebrews 10:23. I want to add something to that. He says, let's hold fast the confession of our hope. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Oh, hallelujah. He who promised is faithful. Glory to God. So he said, let's hold fast the confession of our faith. Without wavering. When you use the word hold fast, it means to hold it firmly. Without giving in. That's the word, without wavering. Without giving in. Without giving up. Without giving in. Hallelujah. Things around you may not seem so. But you know, the things around you are lying vanity. They're not the real thing. Hallelujah. The real word is what has been done. What Christ has done for us. Hallelujah. The things happening around you are lying vanities. They're not the truth. The truth is in the scripture. The truth is what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. What he has done. And he says, are you there? It says, he who promises is faithful. So therefore, I can also look into the promise of God's word. Oh, hallelujah. And I will know, and I will say it out. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's stupid to say all that is promised has been fulfilled. You know, it's stupid to say that. Right? Everybody's quiet. I thought I've told you. I've not told you that. You've not been listening. I've said that before, right? Hey, I've said that before, right? Hey, come on. I've said that before. We have the promise of our body change. We have the promise of the word in all the earth. Is it in all the earth? Ah, that is the promise. He said, as the water covered this, is the promise. Right? And glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So I can look at the promise of in God's word, right, and say in faith, and have it in my tongue, what the Lord is doing in the land today. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So therefore, it doesn't matter what is happening around, whether there is crisis, ISWAP, Boko Haram, Esko Haram. I don't care. I keep saying the word of God in all the earth. Hallelujah. The word of God in all the earth. The word of God in all the earth. Men are saved, men are changed. Men are saved, men are changed. Hallelujah. It forms my confession also. What God is doing in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of his glory. As the waters cover the sea. So everywhere. Hallelujah. Salvation in everywhere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It forms my confession and I find it in my tongue. Hallelujah. It's a confession of our faith. It's a confession of what Christ has done. Christ is doing through us in the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the reality. That is the reality. What you hear in the news is not the real thing. Are you hearing me? With what the word says, that is the real thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You say your belief. You say your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say that. You say that. Hallelujah. Don't say fear. No. No. The believer doesn't talk fear. We talk faith. Hallelujah. 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 Whether there's pandemic around. Well, there's variant or no variant or anything. I don't care. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My confession is the word. My confession is the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. Every fiber of my being, I have the life of God in me. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You say that to yourself. He lives in me. He lives in me. I can't catch any virus. He lives in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The economy does not dictate your confession. The world does not dictate your confession. No. The scripture says what we the scripture shows us what we say. Hallelujah. What we sing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today you make up your mind. I know what to sing. I know what to say. I know what to sing. I know what to say. Hallelujah. I know what to sing. Say, I know what to sing.
I know what to say.
I know what to say.
I know what to say.
I don't say fear.
I don't say
defeat.
I speak the word.
I speak the word.
Without wavering.
Without giving in.
Without giving up.
Hallelujah. I don't need to wait for results before I speak the word. No, I keep saying the word. Irrespective of whether there's result or no result. My mind is to say the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's be on our feet. And just worship Him. Sing out your reality. Sing out your reality.